Hey everybody, this is Mike Westerdahl from CriticalBench.com. We're doing the weekly muscle building expert interview series. Today, I'm pretty pumped. We have Yuri Elkaim on the line, and he's the author of the best-selling Eating for Energy book. He's also the owner of Total Wellness Consulting. Welcome to the call, Yuri. Thanks a lot for being here.
Great to be here, buddy. Thanks for having me.
Cool, man. Why don't you give us a little bit of your background story? Because you had a couple health concerns that kind of came up in your life. I was watching a few videos of you online, and kind of just tell us how you first got into the raw eating.
Yeah, so for most of my life, my whole mission was to play professional soccer. So I was always really fit, always active, and I ended up being able to play professionally for a number of years. So I always believed that, you know, I was fit, so that was good enough, right? So I never really thought about, okay, well, what am I eating? Is it really good for me? And there's so many people, so many professional athletes in that situation too. So I was fit but not healthy. And when I was 17, and it's like looking back, I never really, you know, this stuff never really occurred to me until several years later. But looking back, I would sleep every night about 8 to 10 hours. And then during the afternoon, I would have to take about an hour to 2 hours another nap. So
okay.
I was about 50% of my life was sleeping. So I'm like, this is, you know, it's kind of ridiculous. And that kind of tied into some other health issues that started to develop. When I was 17, I developed an autoimmune condition in which my immune system basically attacked all my hair follicles. So I lost all the hair on my body, eyebrows, eyelashes, like everything. And wow. In my senior year of high school, you know, obviously that's, you know, having had long brown hair, you know, before that, it was kind of a shock to myself and a lot of people that I knew. But thankfully, I had a really good group of, you know, good group of friends, and I put things into perspective because, you know, obviously there are people that are suffering from much worse. But nonetheless, I wanted to find out why that was happening, and I went to all the doctors, and they had no idea. They just wanted to, you know, give me cortisone shots into my head, and I was like, that's not going to happen. And so I kind of dropped the pursuit after a couple of years of not really finding any solution. And so I went to France, played soccer. I came back, I officially retired when I was 24. And through a series of events, I went to a open house for a holistic nutrition school in Toronto. And this is actually after having graduated with a degree in kinesiology and still having no idea how to eat properly. So I went to this open house, and within the first 30 minutes, I was like, where do I sign up? Like, this is like mind-blowing information that I had never heard of. And like, I was half a credit shy of doing a minor in nutrition at university and still completely clueless about how to eat properly. And unfortunately, what people are being taught nutrition-wise at universities is pretty much what doctors and dietitians know, which unfortunately has more to do with the quantity side of things versus the quality side of foods. So the holistic side stuff really resonated with me, and as I registered for this this nutrition course, I did a year intensive. It was just incredible. It changed my life. Within a couple of weeks of learning and applying what I was learning in class, I literally regrew all my hair, kind of settled down my autoimmune condition, overcame a lifetime of breathing like asthma issues, eczema. And the biggest thing for me really was the energy, because I was noticing when I was playing soccer, training at least once a day, sometimes two times a day, because I train in the morning on my own in the gym, and then I'd train with the team later in the day, and I was just breaking down. Like, it was just crazy. And, you know, having worked with a lot of athletes since that time, whether, you know, these are guys who want to build muscle or, you know, train for their sport, As you know, like, it doesn't really matter. It's like the stress that you impose upon your body, if you're not doing things to help your body regenerate and recover faster, it's just going to break down and wear down. So that was happening to me. And it would have been nice had I known this nutrition stuff when I was playing, because it would have made a huge difference for me. And it's funny because nowadays I still play at a competitive level, but obviously it's nowhere near where I used to play. I find now that I'm actually in better shape, physically, so from a fitness standpoint, as well as from a health standpoint internally, than I was when I was in my early 20s. Like, I feel amazing compared to where I was 10 or 12 years ago. And that's simply
How old are you now?
32.
32.
Yeah, so not, I mean, a lot of people in my age are like, oh, you know, we're over the hill. I'm like, no way, man. We're only like in our 30s. That's pretty young. So
yeah, it's really like how you feel, because you can, and how healthy you are, not what you look like. It's what you feel like and how healthy you are. I mean, you
totally.
Can have guys in their 40s and 50s that feel great and still playing sports and doing things.
And the beautiful thing is that, I mean, it can change within a very short period of time. Like, you know, if you have a friend's bachelor party over the weekend and you kind of let yourself go a little bit, you're not going to feel too great for a couple of days afterwards. But
right.
You can very quickly reverse that by, you know, really cleaning things up over a day or two. So the body is very resilient and it bounces back really, really quickly if you're doing the right things.
Are you going to the Muscle Cooks bachelor party?
I will. Yeah, I will be.
I'll see you there. So I'll need some recovery tips from
that
you the next day.
That's fine. We'll have some prep work to do and then some recovery work to do, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Let's just give some people a little basic difference, like comparing holistic overview of medicine versus kind of Western medicine.
Yeah. So I mean, the easiest way to describe this is I was talking to a friend last week who recently had a heart attack and was in a hospital, and we're talking about the food that they were serving him, and he was saying that they're bringing like cheesecake and like literally like cheesecake, and he's like not the good kind. And the unfortunate part is that the meals that are being put together for these establishments are being put together by dietitians. And I have nothing personally against dietitians. It's just that the school of thought that they're brought up in is very quantitative. And that basically means they're just looking at calories, pretty much. So, you know, for diabetics, they're recommending don't drink Coke, drink Diet Coke, without consideration of the impact of aspartame and other artificial sweeteners and what they do inside the body. So, the same with your doctor. You know, your doctor gets very, very little nutrition training in their practice, in their school. And, you know, as a result, they're very poorly versed in a lot of aspects about health in relation to nutrition. Holistically, what really kind of jived with me is that nothing in the body is independent of anything else. So, you know, looking at foods and breaking them down into proteins, fats, and carbs, or this much vitamin C, or whatever, it's a very fragmented way of looking at foods, and we do that to our body as well. And so holistically, it's really, you know, it's very powerful to look at how a whole food is very different from a supplement, or how that food inside your body affects a lot of different systems, organs, cellular processes, in a much greater way than just calories in. And that's what really fascinated me, because when you think about energy foods, like if you look at a package, it'll say energy equals 400 calories. So this, you know, we have this weird association between energy and calories, but if you have a 3000 calorie meal, you're not really going to feel that energetic after it. So there's
right.
this whole other level of energy that, you know, the whole allopathic side of medicine and diets is not really paying attention to. And that's really what I specialize in, is really showing people the other side, the kind of the truth about how foods energize us and looking at things a little bit differently other than just calories or carbohydrates, because it's much more than that.
Now, why would the government and stuff, why would they make like a food pyramid that tells you to eat so much processed food and grains and things being the base of a diet when that's like man-made stuff?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think obviously there's going to be, you know, there's obviously lobby groups that have a lot of say and a lot of money to push their specific, whether it be grains or milk. I mean, I don't know how it is in Florida or the States, but, you know, if we go see a movie here in Canada, at least in where I am, you know, before the movie, let's say we're going to go see a movie that might apply to late, let's say, okay, well, I'm going to just be shameless here and say that, okay, let's say you're going to go see Twilight, which I've seen every single one of them because I have a fiance, so that's just the way it goes. So, you know, that audience is going to be primed to be marketed messages about milk. So, you know, and they're, you know, teenagers and stuff like that. So before the movie even starts, we're seeing like six advertisements from like cartoon type of images, like really quick, flashy type things. That basically the message is like, if you want to grow big and strong, you have to drink milk. And obviously these are paid by the Dairy Council in Canada or the National Dairy Council in the States. So there's a lot of money behind a lot of these groups. But again, like, you know, I don't know what's happening at the very, very top and how these people are making these decisions. But, you know, even in Canada, the Canada Food Guide is a disaster. I mean, they're telling us to eat soy and like tofu as replacements for good, healthy protein, especially if you're vegetarian. And we know that soy is one of the most heavily processed legumes on the planet.
Modified.
Yeah, and it's the GMOs and everything. So, I don't know. I mean, it's very unfortunate that our food supply is broken. And it's really ironic that we pay now more for organic foods, which are essentially just foods the way they're supposed to be in nature. We're paying more for that than foods that have, chemical alterations to them just because they produce higher yields or whatever. So, you know, it's a bit frustrating sometimes, but I think that's where education comes in, is like you really have to be educated and do the best you can with the information you have. And I think each and every one of us, and this would be great to go back to the schooling system too, like kids, teenagers, young adults, they should all be learning about this stuff at a young age, because it's really unfortunate.
We need people like us to spread the word about it, because it doesn't seem like it's going to get into the school systems and in the mass media, because there's just too much politics going on.
Yeah,
I mean, the government even controls and makes things illegal to get certain healthy foods and stuff, trying to, at least here in the States, with some of the raw foods.
Yeah, there's all sorts of politics and stuff involved, but it's pretty unfortunate. But I guess the good thing is that, as you said, there's, you know, it gives people like you and I the opportunity to actually give people the proper knowledge and then help them. So for that, I'm grateful.
Nice. I just had a question. So a lot of people that aren't on a raw diet or a good diet right now, they wind up relying on stimulants to get through the day, different energy drinks, coffee, things like that. How can stimulants harmfully affect the body if you're on them for too long, and from a holistic standpoint, not just necessarily right on that one organ, but how overall does it affect you to be relying on this in the long term?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a big thing that we really, you know, spend a lot of time educating our customers about, because right now caffeine is the number one drug in the world, and that says a lot, because a lot of people, the typical person, you know, they wake up in the morning, they don't feel too energetic, and they go to their coffee machine, press brew, and they get a quick jolt of caffeine, and that lasts them a couple hours, and then it drops. And that's when you start getting these cravings for sugar and the next caffeine fix, and then that cycle kind of goes up and down. So you have these kind of peaks and troughs of energy throughout the day if you're continuing to seek out coffee or energy drinks or sugar fixes to make you feel somewhat alive. The problem with that is several folds. First of all, caffeine and sugar are both stimulants. So what that'll do is they will stimulate your adrenal glands, which are the glands that are responsible for secreting your stress hormones like cortisol, epinephrine. And when they are, like we need more stress than we already have in our lives. So most of us are already stressed out enough as it is. So already the adrenals are pumping overtime. And now we're compounding that by adding in stressful foods, so stimulants, that are adding or basically telling the adrenals to pump out more epinephrine, more cortisol into our bloodstream. And over time, that wears the adrenal glands down. And adrenal fatigue is a massively common problem that most people don't even know that they have, or probably don't even know what it is.
Did I tell you that I got diagnosed with it?
Yeah, you mentioned that earlier. So for you, like, what made you go and get tested for that?
Well, Elliot, who's my partner over at Lean Hybrid Muscle, he was taking a course and studying on this and reading a book on adrenal fatigue, and he wanted to run some tests on some students. And
yeah,
we're all kind of, all the guys he's friends with and trains with, and we all volunteered for the tests. So that's why I took the test. But I had a pretty stressful year just becoming a new father and a lot of things going on, because you're talking about like nutrition and what you're consuming, but I think there's other factors too that, you know, create the stress and cortisol and,
absolutely,
you know, the general thing going on. So I just had a year where I wasn't sleeping very much and just a lot of stuff going on and relying too much on coffee. And then you combine that with any kind of extreme hobby, like when I was doing powerlifting and trying to get pumped up for every workout and things like that. And you combine all this stuff together. And then if you're waking up not feeling that good and you need coffee or something just to get going.
Exactly.
Something's not right.
It's a double-edged sword because, you know, when you don't understand what's happening at a deeper level and you're going through, and it's not to say that coffee is the cause of adrenal fatigue. I mean, maybe you should drink 10 cups of it a day, maybe. But it's like when you're compounding that with the stress of everyday life, because most people aren't living like monks on a mountain in Tibet. You know, it's like everyday real-world stress. And whether that's emotional stress or physical stress, you know, if you're doing intense workouts like powerlifting, if you have to get, like, as you mentioned, if you have to get like psychologically pumped up every single time you're doing a set, that's taxing. You know, you can't do that all the time. For guys that are doing CrossFit 5 days a week and just burning themselves out, that's a disaster waiting to happen. So
right.
If you're compounding that with caffeine because you think, okay, I don't have energy because I'm doing this stuff, so I need coffee. So I need coffee to feel alive. That's only making the problem worse, even though it's making you feel better in the short term for a few hours, because it is pumping more of that epinephrine, the adrenaline, and cortisol out of the adrenal glands. So they're just overworked and overworked. And it's you know, it's like an employee. If you're an employee or if you have employees and you're overworked, well, you're not going to perform as well. And that's pretty much what happens to the adrenal glands. And the problem is that in the long run, if that persists, the adrenal glands compete with the same minerals as the thyroid gland does. So like selenium and iodine are two big ones. So there's a big relationship between adrenal fatigue and then thyroid issues. And then we know that the thyroid is the master gland for the metabolism. So, you know, there's all sorts of, again, nothing happens in isolation inside the body. And that's why, especially for athletes, and this is where like I'm really passionate about teaching my athletes this stuff, because when you have such high demands, like the physical side of the sport or lifting or whatever it is, plus the emotional side of that, the psychological side, that's all stress. You need to be able to do things nutritionally that will support you and kind of counteract that to help you recover quicker. Because other than sleep, nutrition is really the only thing you can do to help your body regenerate and recover faster and support your major organs. And that's why it's so important to understand this stuff.
Right. I mean, and like if you look at a college athlete, and then they also have the stress of their studies, they're probably partying a little bit. So there's more than just the demands of the sport going on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally.
So if we know this is the problem, what can people do about it?
So, I mean, the first thing to do is really identify, okay, well, you know, are you drinking, are you using energy drinks? Are you drinking coffee? You know, if you enjoy coffee for the taste of coffee, that's fine. You know, just switch to a decaf. That's a great start. But then looking at not individual foods, but an overall approach to eating that will support your entire body. Because a lot of people ask me, you know, Yuri, what's the number one food that's going to give you the most energy? And I tell them, I'm like, honestly, there's no single food that's going to override your overall diet. So if you're going to have McDonald's 7 days a week and then have a cup of goji berries, there's no point in doing that. So what you want to do, the key really, and it's not rocket science. I have a saying that where I say how you heal anything is how you heal everything. So if you want to lose weight, if you want to recover faster, if you want to prevent disease, if you want to have more energy, the approach is pretty much the exact same. And that boils down to eating more whole foods, more of them plant-based. So I'm not saying that you have to become a raw vegan, but yeah, adding more fruits and vegetables into your diet, and preferably eating more of those fruits and vegetables in their raw state. The reason for that is there's several reasons. First of all, when you eat more fruits and vegetables, you're adding a huge amount of alkalinity into your body. And I talked about this in Eating for Energy, where your body needs to be slightly alkaline, your blood needs to be slightly alkaline in order for it to work properly and deliver the red blood cells appropriately, which carry the oxygen to your cells, and therefore they can, you know, your cells can produce energy and you feel, you know, normal. Because the normal state of the human being is energetic. It's not to like to feel like sloth and lay around, and that's not our natural state of being. It's just based on our lifestyle and things we eat. So eating more, especially focusing on eating more greens, is probably one of the easiest and most powerful things anybody can do to take their health and energy to a whole new level. And when you do that, you're inherently supporting your adrenal glands. You're inherently supporting your liver. You're inherently supporting every single cell in your body, because above and beyond the nutrients that green leafy vegetables, for instance, or just fruits and vegetables are giving your body in general, you're also getting a high amount of food enzymes. And these are enzymes that help the foods kind of metabolize and digest themselves more efficiently inside your digestive system. So your body, your pancreas, doesn't have to use as many of its own enzymes to break down those foods. And digestion is actually the most labor-intensive or energy-depleting process in the human body. I mean, just think about like Thanksgiving dinner, right? I mean, we've all had Thanksgiving dinner where we've had turkey and mashed potatoes and the works, and how tired you feel after that kind of meal. And it's a very different fatigue than the type of fatigue that you experience after a heavy workout. You know,
right.
It's the type of fatigue that you can't do anything. It just kills you. And that's why digestion is very, very draining. It's said that we can drain, digestion kind of shunts about 80% of our body's energy towards that process. So we want to do things that are going to alleviate the digestive burden. And by eating more foods in their raw state, more fruits and vegetables, you get these enzymes in which help that process happen without depleting your own bank account of enzymes, if you want to call it that. The other thing is that above and beyond the stuff that we can see, above and beyond like the food enzymes, the vitamins and minerals that are in higher quantities in fruits and vegetables in their raw state, the other thing that is, and again, this is where like, you know, you definitely butt heads with a dietitian or a doctor, is that when you're eating foods in their natural states, you're getting their natural life energy, this natural force that we cannot see. The thing is, you can't see the difference between, for instance, cooked broccoli and raw broccoli.
I'm actually looking at that picture on your website right now. You've got the picture of both.
Exactly. There's a type of photography called the Kirlian photography. And again, some people think it's woo-woo. But, you know, essentially what it allows you us humans to do is to look at any living thing, a plant, a vegetable, your pet, and it shows the energy, the aura coming off that food. And the difference between the images there is that, you know, organic broccoli, if it's steamed for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes, is going to have much less of that vital energy, that vital life force, than broccoli, which is in its natural raw state. And so the idea here is that, as I mentioned earlier, you know, energy is not just calories. It's this kind of intangible, electricity, if you want to think about it that way, that we can't see, but that resonates with our body, because we are all energetic beings. Everything in this universe is energy. You know, we're all made up of energy, so it's the food we eat. So we want to be eating foods that resonate with that energy. And the easiest, I mean, you know, if people have a tough time, you know, comprehending this, or they're skeptical about it, the easiest thing that I suggest people do is just try this out. And if you can start adding more raw vegetables, more raw fruits into your diet, by this time tomorrow, you're going to feel a minimum of 50% better. And again,
I was going to ask you how to start with this and how long it takes to actually feel a difference. You're saying just adding in like a salad before your dinner and having maybe a smaller dinner, just doing that and having like some berries as part of your breakfast, just doing something small like that, you'll feel a difference by the next day?
Yeah, absolutely. There's three things that I recommend people do. And they don't have to do all three. They can do one. But if they do all three, they're going to notice a significant difference in their energy levels. They'll wake up easier in the morning. What's going to happen is they're going to start feeling more. They're going to have more mental clarity. They're going to recover quicker from their workouts. There's a lot of benefits. And it's really as simple as this. In the morning, prepare a green juice or a green smoothie. So if you have a juicer, that's great. Most people don't, so I'm going to assume that more people have blenders than juicers. So what I do in the morning is how can I, first thing, other than kind of movements and other stuff, From a food standpoint, how can I nourish my body with the best possible nutrition? So I'll make a smoothie, which will consist of about a head of kale, or a Swiss chard, or a dark green leafy lettuce. I'll take about a handful of parsley or cilantro, one apple, one banana, one pear. If you have any green powder, any of that kind of stuff, you can add that in as well. The juice of one lime, and then about 500 milliliters of water. And then you blend that all up. It'll give you about a liter and a half of green smoothie. And if you start your day with that, you're going to, first of all, feel more energy. Perhaps not the first time, but as you continue to do it over a couple of days, you're going to feel more sustained energy than that morning coffee without the crash. The second thing you can do is, as you mentioned, is make a green salad, right? So the nice thing about smoothies is that, for me at least, I'm lazy. I don't like preparing a lot of food because I just don't like taking the time. So I throw everything into a blender. So for me, that works. If you enjoy making foods a little bit more elaborately, you can make a great green salad with whatever you're eating. If you're having some fish, chicken, steak, that's fine. But look at how can I counterbalance some of the components in those foods by getting more raw veggies in, more alkalinity, more of those really good minerals in through those kind of foods in a salad form, or just as an accompaniment, a Swiss chard on the side or whatever it might be. And the third thing is just, when you're snacking throughout the day, have a bowl of blueberries, right, instead of a bowl of chips. Really simple things. And when I first started eating like this, and again, I'm not a raw foodist. I would say more of my diet is on the vegetarian side, more of it's raw. But, I mean, last night we were at a Brazilian steakhouse. So, I didn't go crazy, but I definitely know that if I eat like that all the time, I'm not going to be feeling too good. So
you're not telling people they can't eat meat or anything like that.
I'm not fanatical about this stuff, because the problem within nutrition and the diet world, is I'm sure we've all experienced, is that people are fanatical and they're telling us that humans were meant to eat only fruit or stuff like that. Meanwhile, if you come from Scandinavia, well, you're not going to be your ancestors didn't have access to fresh fruit in the winter, So
we ate herring. I'm from Sweden.
Yeah, and I'm half Danish, so I totally understand. So everyone, the thing is, everyone responds to the same foods differently. So you really want to kind of tune into how your body responds to food, and you want to find the best approach that works for you. With that said, there are certain kind of fundamental principles that will benefit everyone, which is essentially eating more plant-based foods, because we know that doing so reduces the risk of cancer, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, all that stuff. But again, then there are vegans that are eating grain. I personally know several vegans whose diets consist of bread, pasta, and cereal. So Technically that's a plant-based diet, but they're at a greater risk now for cardiovascular disease and diabetes just based on those foods. So it's really about eating more fruits and vegetables. And again, if you're eating meats, if you're doing the other stuff, that's fine. But just understand you need to balance things out by bringing more vegetables, especially more vegetables into your body. And again, the simplest way to do it is by juicing, because you can get a ton of stuff in a glass. You can get your whole daily servings worth of fruits and vegetables in one glass.
It sounds awesome, but I just feel a little concerned sometimes eating too much fruit that it's a lot of sugar. I wonder how much is too much as far as fruit and the sugar. Is that something to not worry about?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I definitely agree with you that I'm not. There are people out there who say that we should be eating 30 bananas a day. That's pretty much how we should be eating, and that's a recipe. That's a disaster waiting to happen. So I would definitely say focus more on the vegetable side, especially the green vegetables. And when it comes to the fruit, focus more on the semi-sweet or non-sweet fruit. So berries, you can eat berries to the end of time as far as I'm concerned, because they're not giving you the same quantity of sugar as, for instance, mango or bananas would. Right? So bananas, mangoes, the tropical fruit, they're a little bit higher on the sugar side. So especially, with respect to blood sugar, if people have issues with that, you definitely concentrate on berries, because they're very high in antioxidants, a lot lower on the glycemic index as well. And pears, apples, those kind of northern climate fruits are really good as well. And again, just, you know, taking the idea is that you don't want to be eating high quantities of the same foods all the time. So if you're having, you know, 5 bananas a day every single day, that's you know, your body can develop sensitivities and intolerances to that over time. So you want to vary things up. But especially if you're active as well, if you're lifting, if you're in sports, you can tolerate the higher fruit load because your body's going to process, your liver actually will process the fructose from that fruit a lot more quickly and efficiently than if you were sedentary. So for most active, actually for all active individuals, unless they have, you know, a very, very unhealthy liver, fruit is rarely a problem.
Okay. Now, what about, you talk about food being, how dead is your food? And we're talking about whether it's cooked or not. Mm-hmm. What about like in supplement form, like with the greens powder, do you lose the enzymes out of that when it's in powder form? Does it have to be a whole food to get the enzymes? Because, I mean, I've got a lot of these greens powders that I put in my morning shake, but is that not the same thing as juicing the actual vegetables?
Yeah, I don't think it's never going to be the same as the real original raw food. I mean, it's a great compliment, right? I'm not going to say, like, I have green powders too, and then I don't know. It's tough to measure their effectiveness, but I do believe that they do provide some nutritional value, so I add them as well. But I don't use those as a replacement to the actual foods. And I think that's an important distinction for people to make because, you know, I think as North Americans, statistics show that we as a continent consume the highest amounts of vitamins and minerals in terms of supplemental form, yet we have the worst health out of all the continents. The Mediterranean countries have the lowest consumption of minerals and vitamin supplements, and they have the greatest health. So
wow.
They focus a lot more on, you know, just natural foods. You know, it's not rocket science, right? But supplementally, you know, especially if people are asking about, like, you know, specific vitamins or minerals, I'm just gonna, like, I'll make a very quick statement here. If you're supplementing with a multivitamin, for instance, make sure that it's from Whole Foods, not the store, but that it, like it says on the bottle, it should say from whole food, because most supplements are synthetic. And as an example, vitamin C, a lot of people take vitamin C supplementally, and really what they're taking, and you'll see it on the label, it says ascorbic acid. And ascorbic acid is just one component of vitamin C. It's like saying, like, your bicep is one component of your body. That's kind of like ascorbic acid is to vitamin C. So with supplements, you want to make sure they're coming from natural food sources. And you can see that it should say from food on the label or from whole food right on the front of the label. And on the back, in the nutrient facts, it should say stuff like, if it says under vitamin C, it should say from cherries or from oranges or stuff like that. And that's what you want to look for. I mean, it's a pretty complex, you know, topic, but generally you want to look for from a whole food supplement, and a really good one is called Mega Food. That's a supplement that my wife uses for her prenatal stuff, and it's all from Whole Foods. It's, you know, there's no synthetics or anything like that. And the powerful thing there is it goes back to the synergy of nutrients, right? So when you have an apple in real life, there's a lot of components in that apple that are tough to isolate individually in supplemental form and still get the benefit. And every study shows it. I mean, you know, the retention, the bioavailability, how the synergy of all this stuff, how it reacts in the body is much, much greater from whole foods than it is supplementally. So if you are taking a whole food, or if you're taking a multivitamin, make sure it's coming from a whole food sourced source, I guess. Yeah.
Okay, that's an awesome tip. Thanks. I mean, we've covered some of the basics here. In your book, Eating for Energy, what else do people learn in there? Like, what else do you cover in there besides what we've talked about?
Yeah, so we spent a lot. Half of the program is spent on the why, so a lot more of the science. So for a lot of people who are, you know, they want to know, you know, what's the research showing behind this? And so the first half of the program is really about the science, the why we should be eating more like this. And the second half of the program is really showing you how to do so. So, you know, kind of holding your hand step by step, taking you through the transitioning process. It also includes 120 raw food recipes and a 12-week meal plan. So the beauty of the recipes is that they all take less than 10 minutes to make, and they're all based on fresh ingredients. And the reason for that is because when I first started eating like this, probably 10 years ago now, my biggest thing was that I consumed like all these raw food books and all these gourmet recipes. But the problem was that a lot of the recipes were taking like far too long to make. I'm talking like 48 hours in some cases. Because if you wanted to, for instance, make a raw pizza, you'd have to make the crust, which was all based out of nuts and seeds, which again is not necessarily the most energetic thing to be eating all the time. Then you have to put it into a dehydrator to let it dehydrate for a day. Then you come back, put some stuff on, put it back in the dehydrator, and you have dinner for 2 days down the road.
Yeah, who's going to do that?
It's not sustainable. So the recipes and eating for energy all take less than 10 minutes. They're all based on fresh ingredients that you can get at your grocery store. And so it's really that powerful. So in terms of the stuff we cover in the program, we talk a lot about pH balance, acid alkaline balance, which are really, really important to understand. Talk about food enzymes. We talk about, going back to pH balance for a second, we talk about the importance of that in respect to, for instance, osteoporosis, athletic recovery, which is a really, really important subject for, you know, for those of you listening who are into strength training or any kind of athletic endeavor. There's actually an entire component of the book called Nutrition for Athletes. And we go into specific protocols about how to eat before a training session or a sporting event and afterwards in terms of nutrient timing, give you some really good whole food recipes for natural sports gels and natural sports drinks instead of Gatorade that has all sorts of colors. And so it's a very complete program for performance as well as overall health. And the reason I say performance is because we are all athletes no matter what we do. I mean, if you go to work, you're an athlete. If you play a sport, you're an athlete. It's just, you know, to differing degrees. And it's all about improving your performance. And when you do so, your health improves dramatically at the same time.
Awesome. That sounds amazing. Now, you are a strength coach still right now for the University of Toronto soccer team?
I am, yeah. I've actually been doing so for the last 7 years. And for me, it's really just a volunteer thing because I went through the program as a student, and it was my way of kind of giving back to the team and helping get to the level that I wasn't exposed to as a student. So it's giving these guys proper structure, proper conditioning programs, proper nutrition advice to help them reach their goals. So yeah.
Cool. So you've had some of these guys implement a lot of your nutrition advice.
Oh yeah. It's funny because, I remember when I was a student, I'd go to McDonald's before training. Like it was
yeah.
Crazy. and seeing some of these guys transition from that kind of habitual way of eating to going to the local vegetarian restaurant and grabbing a green juice after practice, it was pretty amazing, you know, and they noticed a huge difference. And so it's pretty, pretty amazing.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yep. For the guys that are, where can they find Eating for Energy, by the way? What's your website?
Well, if they go to eatingforenergy.ca, not the .com, the .ca is what you want to look for.
Okay.
That is where they can find it.
Cool. Now, you have some more advanced stuff too, don't you?
Yeah, we have a ton of stuff. We have, we have something called the Super Nutrition Academy, which is a little bit more advanced, really for the health, like the serious health seeker. And that's an online nutrition course where we teach, the everyday person kind of to the level of a holistic nutritionist. And it's all research-backed stuff. We go into much greater detail about protein issues, fats, how to prevent disease. We cover 48 different topics. It's a really, really amazing program. What's that?
I said I'd be interested in that, definitely. Do you
yeah,
get some kind of certification at the end? Or?
Yeah, it's actually something we're going to be implementing because we've had a lot of people that have asked about that. I didn't realize how many fitness professionals we had that were going through the course. And I was like, okay, we'll put together a certification component because there's nothing like this, really, unless you were to go back to school and go through a holistic nutrition program, which would obviously cost you a lot of time and money to do that. So
they don't even really have that in colleges, do they?
Not that I know of. Like, it's really
it's
yeah.
Anti-establishment anyway.
Yeah. So that's probably our more recent advanced stuff. We also have a cleansing program. But I mean, I think like Eating for Energy is really our flagship program because it's so powerful and the results are so quick.
Wow.
And they're so far reaching in terms of like energy, weight loss, you know, whatever it is that the individual is trying to achieve. Again, because how you heal anything is how you heal everything. And especially for athletes, we have so many athletes that we've been able to help with this program that it's pretty awesome.
I mean, this could even help with cancer prevention, any kind of long-term chronic diseases and things like that.
Oh, yeah, like yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously we can't say like it's going to cure cancer, but when you look at when people go through the traditional approaches like chemo and radiation and they start looking at alternative therapies, for cancer, for instance, one of the biggest things you'll hear about is I started doing wheatgrass juice, I started green juices, I started doing all this stuff to alkalize my body. Well, that's pretty much what we're doing in Eating for Energy. So it's a very proactive approach to staying healthy and preventing all that stuff from happening in the first place.
And you, as far as muscle building, you can still get the proteins you need and just balance it out with more of this kind of eating?
Yeah, that's a good question because you know, we do have a lot of guys, specifically guys, who want to, they don't want to lose muscle mass. And I'm one of them. I mean, I'm not a big guy. I would say I'm lean and fit. But the idea is that you just want to keep up your calories. So if you're eating enough calories, that's really the only concern you have. And protein-wise specifically, you know, if you want to move away from eating meat all the time, you're looking at things like hemp seeds, chia seeds, almonds, walnuts, the nuts and seeds, you know, and you don't want to go crazy with them, but they're very, very high sources of proteins. And we show you how to get better bioavailability out of those proteins from those food sources, because, you know, sometimes from the vegetarian sources, the protein bioavailability is a bit different. So we show you some really cool techniques to get more out of them. But yeah, it's you know, again, if you want to keep eating the meat, I would say just maybe reduce it a little bit. Don't go crazy with it and balance things out with some really good, high-quality green vegetables.
Cool. I started adding in this thing from Dale's Raw Protein Bar.
Yeah.
No artificial, any preservatives or sweeteners, and it's gluten-free and dairy-free, and I think it's made from, like, plant proteins and stuff. But I have, like, one of those per day.
Yeah, Dave was just telling me about that. I didn't even realize until I was like, yeah, that's a great idea. And yeah, so we actually give several of those similar type of like raw bar type of recipes in Eating for Energy as well. But those things are so easy to make.
Really?
That's the cool thing. So you know, for like a post workout snack or kind of during the day, it's really really simple stuff that you can make in like 2 minutes as long as you have the ingredients. So yeah,
I like it because you know, you eat a salad, you're just going to be starving and you get shaky and still be hungry and stuff. But I mean, with these bars, I have one of these and they're so dense and solid. I mean, it holds me over for a few hours.
Yeah. And it, like, if you were to like break it down in terms of like, again, looking at the quantitative side, but you know, the calories and the protein and fat and stuff, a lot of them are based around like cashews, almonds, walnuts, hemp seeds. I mean, you're getting a ton of protein and really good healthy fats in those bars. So in terms of like keeping you full and satiated, you know, as you mentioned, it keeps you going for a while and it's giving you those nutrients in their best possible format.
Cool.
Yeah.
This is awesome. We'll definitely have to do a follow-up interview, but I don't want to keep you too long. I appreciate you sharing your information with us.
And, absolutely.
Anything else you wanted to close with?
I don't think so. I think we've covered a lot of grounds. I don't want to overwhelm people, but you know, I hope that the information has made sense for people and then just to start taking, you know, some really basic steps based on this stuff.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you real soon.
All right. Thanks a lot, buddy.